Alex, Linda and I are always talking about Team White, and I thought at the start of this video I would give you a little bit of an example of a good Team White. You're about to see a Russian orchestra called Otter, and they are performing probably their greatest hit. Now, these people are white Russians. You can look at them, you'll see they are almost exclusively European. But take a look at these people in this orchestra and observe how they all work together and the beautiful end result that comes out of it. But there are a couple of twists to this piece of music, and it's one of my favorites, and I've listened to it so many times and watched the video so many times that there are some things I can point out to you. This particular music video, as with one or two others I've discovered, actually required more than one take. And how I realized it was, watch the drummer, the blonde woman who's the drummer, and you'll see that at various times she's either got bright red, dark glasses on, or no glasses. And if you watch extremely carefully, you may even see the glasses disappearing within a split second, and then you'll realize that this film footage is the result of multiple takes. In watching music videos, in one of the older music videos that I watch from Britain, I actually see the people's clothes changing. And you can see it's the same song, everything is in time, etc., etc., but everybody's clothes are changing. So they've actually spliced together different footage from different times and made it all sound like it's one actual take. But in this particular music video, not only see how good this is done and how you have true white teamwork here, everybody working all carefully, doing their bit, and the end result is very beautiful actually. I love this piece of music. But also notice how happy they are. And you'll see the men are very droll, as men always are, as is normal for the male. The men aren't that smiley and happy, they are very serious and so forth, except for one of the older drummers. He also wears some red-rimmed glasses. But look at how happy they also are, these women. They are very proud of what they're doing. They're really enjoying it. You can see some of them are more openly happy than others. And I'll actually show you the second part again, and then you can look closely at their body language and their faces, and you'll see that there are a bunch of them that are genuinely happy and pleased. They like what they're doing. They're feeling happy about what they're producing. It's very lovely. And there you have a Team White, one of hundreds of thousands of examples of Team Whites on the planet right now, their thing. But in this case, it's just music, and the music also is itself very beautiful. And in this piece of music, the main player, the star of the show, is the tall lady in the yellow dress. And I think of her as the queen. Women like to think in those terms as well, queens and princesses and social status and all that kind of thing. So watch the queen. She is really the star of the show. She's the lead. Watch her body and watch her face, and you'll see that at times she's very serious, and then she can't help but show a nice smile, and she's enjoying what she is doing. So just take a look at them. I'll do a bit of a closer up portion after this, but here's the full piece of music. It's very lovely, and we'll take a closer look at the women. And this is all before Alex and I get on with the serious business of talking about all the shit that's going on everywhere. I nearly forgot that if you watch at the beginning of this, you'll see that there's a girl who's late. You'll see a pretty blonde, I think also in yellow, and the pretty blonde runs in. She's late, everybody's on time. Pretty blonde arrives late. Now, there are ladies to the right of this video who have got their violins or whatever, and they're dressed all smart and slick, showing some leg and all that. They're actually amazingly serious during this entire thing. Let's call it the leggy ladies are serious. But the pretty blonde, she sits more to the back. So the pretty blonde is not going to be seen by the audience, or at least her legs aren't going to be seen by the audience. Her legs and feet aren't going to be seen by the audience. So she's wearing sneakers. Anyway, she's late, and possibly she's been on the phone to her boyfriend or something. So she's freaking late while everybody else is on time. And here she comes in late, and we get to see that she's wearing sneakers. So she's wearing sneakers because the boys aren't going to be seeing her feet, and she can come in dressed all smart but wearing sneakers. Well, bummer. We saw her. We caught her out. Anyway, enjoy the music. I'm going to repeat the second half of this music and you can focus on some of the more fun aspects. Watch the body language of the drummer. That woman who's the drummer, she has a ball. In every piece of music that I've seen where she's busy playing the drums, this woman is permanently happy, happy and unbelievably relaxed. And she's looking around and she's smiling. But watch as in this section they now get to the sort of crescendo. They are sort of really getting into the swing of things. It's heating up for the finale. Just check her body language as she's doing things and her smile. She's absolutely a treat to watch. And then there's the girly with the strange musical instrument that I have no idea what it's called. She's slightly to the right of the drummer. And that girly with her beautiful musical instrument, it's some kind of percussion instrument, and it makes some really, really cool sounds. And watch her as well. She's going crazy. And she's having a ball as this thing is heating up. And of course, the queen is busy. She's also showing off her stuff and suppressing a delighted smile now and then. But look at other women, the woman who plays the piano. And there is another woman sitting behind the piano. And just look at her smiling a sort of a coy type of smile to another lady. And she's also showing like really she's enjoying this. The pretty blonde who was late in the first part of the show, she is also enjoying herself, but she's more controlled. She is smiling and she's happy, but she's not quite as crazy as the drummer woman. The drummer woman's a freaking treat. But take a look at this. This is when the heat is on. And they're going for it, and all of them are happy. Even the older lady who's doing the piano, you can see they're having a ball. They're truly enjoying what they're doing, and the end result is beautiful. And that, my friends, is how Team White should be, and that's how Team Whites are. Ignore everybody else's crap. The European race is a fantastic race, and our teamwork is awesome. And we can make it a lot of fun for ourselves. And don't worry about all the other scum, losers, jealous bastards, greedy pigs, etc. For us, life is awesome. We will make it awesome.
Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder in Northeast Missouri, and with me, as always, is Jan in South Africa. Today, we're going to do perhaps the last show of 2021, and we're going to do a pretty wide-scale review of what's going on in South Africa, even as we talked about the USA last time. And then to end it, I will wrap up discussing the end of the three trials we had talked about at great length last time. Jan, you had said that you came across something from Thomas Sowell, who's probably the biggest name black intellectual, at least back in the 80s, maybe even the 90s. He was kind of trained by neocons, but he is a legitimate intellectual compared to the left-wing stooges who are considered black intellectuals today. What did you see from Sowell, and what did you want to say about it?
Yes, Alex, nice to have you on the show again. Alex, the thing I saw the other day was I've been coming across videos, various videos from blacks, but as a rule, I don't really bother to listen to what they have to say because mostly they just talk a bunch of junk. And but I saw this one video from Thomas Sowell, and I can't remember what it was about it that caught me. And I thought, let me actually download this thing and I will watch it at my leisure. And then I just listened to a couple of minutes of this thing and I just about blew a gasket when I listened to this thing, because I had heard that I was under the impression that Thomas Sowell is like some kind of black intellectual, like and I'm not even sure if I once met somebody here in South Africa who'd actually met Sowell, where Sowell came to South Africa. I think it was Thomas Sowell, could be, that he'd come to South Africa and he was at some kind of meeting with an Afrikaans guy and some government ANC minister, and Sowell was so irritated by this black, and Sowell's behavior, I think it's Sowell. Sowell's behavior was a lot like almost European kind of behavior. I think I'd heard, I'm going to check in my really old African crisis, which I'm busy hauling out and looking at. And I remember some kind of positive stuff about Sowell that I'd heard in the past. Anyway, so I'm busy going through, looking at this video, and it was just the first couple of minutes into it. And here is Thomas Sowell talking about the difference between Europe and Africa. And then he starts down this path of saying that Africa's got this problem. And the problem basically boils down to that Africa, despite its enormous, insane size, and Africa's the second biggest continent on Earth, despite its insanely enormous size, Africa doesn't have many harbors, but Europe does. And the next thing is he's busy talking about, oh, you see, that is why the Europeans were so able to become such sea powers, such naval powers, blah, blah, blah. And I could see, oh, God, here we're going down the pathway. It's yet another story of, oh, the blacks are failing because there's something wrong with Africa. And I just about blew a gasket. I'll still go through the full video, but I've heard this kind of thing before, and it just makes my head want to explode because
it's... Yeah, it reminds me of Jared Diamond's Guns, Germs, and Steel, right? They're trying to displace the explanation from the hominids involved onto some rock or oil or geographical feature.
Yes.
Because
yes.
It's South African, so there's nothing. What do you mean there's no harbors? The whole thing's surrounded by water. And it's in between all the other continents. They can zip right over to South America or up to Europe or turn right and go over to India. I mean, you got to be kidding.
Absolutely.
See, that's Jared Diamond and Guns. This was a big, big seller on, it sounds like more or less the same thesis of Guns, Germs, and Steel, or whatever it was. The Jew, Jared Diamond, was trying to say the reason North America developed was, or the reason white areas developed rather than blacks has nothing to do with whites and blacks and their innate capabilities, but rather is due to geography. So Sal, it sounds like Sal was advancing a similar type of idea.
Okay. It's interesting that you mentioned that Guns, Germs, and Steel. I was looking at that book many months ago, and I saw what you say, you know, all this crap where they're trying to get away from IQ, you know. And Alex, absolutely. And, you know, you're dead on the money. You're dead on the money. I'm in total agreement with you that they do these things to try and hide the fact that white people had to overcome and invent almost everything on earth. And it irritates the living hell out of me when I see some of these excuses about Africa, because the excuses are so lame. They become unbelievably lame. And they actually market this stuff out across the world as if it's real. And even in South Africa itself, you know, with the government here and even working among blacks and things, Alex, there were many times when even just in my job, we'd be doing computer systems and stuff. And now they've appointed all these black managers. And then the system collapses and this is wrong and that's behind schedule and this thing is broken. And then you hear these black managers who are highly paid, and you hear the lame excuses that come out from them. The excuses are so lame that if any white person, white team leader or white project manager had to come up and make that as an excuse, he would have been laughed to scorn. And yet these Jews and blacks and liberals, they walk around touting the biggest load of nonsense you've ever seen. But Jews have to lie about race, Alex. They have to.
Were there any specific points you want to make about Sowell or?
Well, in the case of like Africa, there is nothing with just a quick look at like this harbors issue, for example. There is nothing I've ever come across in the history of Africa where anybody has complained that we have too few harbors. In fact, we have more harbors than we actually can deal with. Like we've got two big harbors in South Africa, Cape Town and Durban, but those are the ones built around major cities. But we've got other tiny harbors that are actually quite awesome. Like when I was in the Navy, I went for basic training at a harbor called Saldanha Bay. If you go to Saldanha Bay, it's an incredibly big natural harbor, totally natural. And it's huge. It was used hundreds of years ago when the Dutch and the French and the British were coming to Africa, and they needed to put their ships in places that were safe from storms and things. They would use Saldanha and so forth. And so he goes on to make these lame excuses. And I'll tell you another secret about Africa is that I knew a guy who was in military intelligence, that Chris Jordan. And Chris Jordan told me that in the time of white rule, that the South African Navy secretly went up to the equator and started sailing into the center of Africa. The rivers are so enormous, Alex. They are insanely huge. And you can just sail entire ships right up them. And the South African Navy went and did some secret mapping in the center of Africa.
They seem to make that point that the Congo isn't navigable after a couple hundred miles because of all the cataracts. And then that's a reason they couldn't develop the interior.
Alex, so many excuses. These people are full of excuses, man.
And Jan, what just occurred to me, well, okay, if Africa lacks harbors, then what about Australia? I mean, that's nothing but harbors, and those Aborigines there, of whom there were tens of thousands, they never developed anything. So what?
Well,
See what I mean? No, it's just excuse. They're always explaining away white success and blaming whites for colored failure. And that's a pattern you see everywhere in the mass media, which points to centralized mass media control. I'm talking about what's put out in the classroom, what's published by the tiny number of TV stations and book publishing houses, is spread to all the colleges, a tiny number of papers with central control. It's all pushing the same message that's uniformly and always anti-white and always blaming whites for other people's failures.
Alex, dead on the money, dead on the money. I mean, I've seen other things about Africa where the blacks try to explain. There are many absolutely in-your-face examples of massive black failure. Like, I mean, just take Zimbabwe, for example. Zimbabwe used to export food massively when there were 5,000 white farmers. And then after the blacks chased the farmers out and all that, then suddenly they've got crop failures. And you know what the blacks in the media then did was then they started talking about, oh, we've got so many droughts. We've got so many droughts, you know. But what about all the decades and decades when the whites were there? Weren't there droughts when the whites were there? Yes, there were. And there were even worse droughts when the whites were there and the country still functioned. But Alex, all these people are full, they're basically full of shit. And they are just inventing one story after another. In Africa, Africa's got some great lakes. Those lakes are, you know, a lot like almost the size of the Great Lakes of America and so forth. But without the ice, they're functioning all year round. And if you actually go back to real old, European colonialist history, you'll find that over 100 years ago, at the time of World War I, Europeans had sailing, they had ships, Alex, fully blown ships that were sailing on these African lakes. In fact, there are still a couple of remnants of those ships still sailing to this day, you know, obviously very very shattered and bust and so forth, but you know, whites were doing all these things well over 100 years ago, and nobody was and nothing was standing in our way. You know, the notion that there's something wrong with Africa and that's why blacks aren't developing, no, that's junk. Most of Africa, like you've said many times, has got two growing seasons, and in parts of
Well, I learned
Africa.
that from you. You told me that. I didn't know it. The
Well,
point is, much of Africa, at least outside of the desert, is better than Europe. It's many times larger than Europe.
in
Europe would be about the worst continent out there, and yet Europe developed the most.
totally, totally. And you know,
Japan has no resources, and Japan developed too. So what do you draw from that? It's the quality of the people, not the environment, that is determinant, is what I draw from it.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know that British professor Lin. Lin is the guy who did a lot of IQ studies. And
Richard Lynn out of, I think he's Irish or out of Ireland anyway.
Now Richard Lin actually developed a theory that as I understand it, it's quite well accepted in scientific circles. His theory goes exactly down that path that you're saying. His theory is that the reason that whites and Asians have higher IQs is because they had a much harder existence. That they lived the Europeans lived in ice age conditions. They struggled to get food. They had to be very careful how they function. If they make the slightest mistake, if they get the day of the year wrong, the seasons wrong, if they do anything slightly wrong, they will die. And that the reason we've got higher IQs is because the blacks in Africa had it a lot easier. That's actually what it boils down to. And you're totally right, Alex. Totally right. And you know, this brings us to you know, it's like survival of the fittest, and it brings us to the notion of brings us to the issue of of oh goodness, slipped my mind now. It'll come back. But it's a case of survival of the fittest and hardship. Hardship is actually what made us what we are and made us as strong and good as we are. And whereas the blacks have it all easy. And even my sister, she often looks at photos, and you can look at any photos anywhere where lots of blacks live, Alex. Go and look at the blacks. The blacks have got beaches. The blacks are standing there, and you'll see lots of greenery and trees and lush surroundings around them. And then the blacks will say, "Oh, life is so hard." But what about ice age conditions? Look at these bodies that they've found who died in the snow, and our ancestors
Yeah, it's a bunch of garbage.
it's just a bunch of crap, hey? But
Well,
yeah.
Jan, what else is going on there? What's the state of things in South Africa today? How's the electricity doing?
The electricity
Like
has
here in the Northeast Missouri, it's now, as we record this on December 2nd, it's going to be over 60 degrees today. So it's been
Okay.
perfectly lovely weather. What is the weather state of your electricity there in South Africa?
Well, actually, it's improved, and I'll tell you why I think it's improved is because it seems that various businesses have now gone to the government, and they are pushing to be allowed to generate their own electricity and to even generate electricity and push it into the grid. Plus, the government always is busy borrowing more money. So the electricity is actually not been bad. I haven't had a power outage probably in 2 weeks. I haven't had a power outage, but I will tell you I've had water problems. So the electricity is better now, but then they said that they need to fix the water in our part of Johannesburg, and it'll only be off for 2 days. But I actually noticed over like the last 2 weeks that many times I'd go and open a tap, and I can see the water's just barely dripping out, and the hot water can't even come out. In fact, it was so bad the other day that luckily, because I think like a European and I have been planning, I have actually been setting up my own little bit of water. And I quickly went and plugged in my little water tank into my stuff, and I supplied my own water to my house for the afternoon when the water was off. So luckily, I'm ahead of the game, and it doesn't actually bother me. I have drinking water, and I have everything. I've already been planning for if we get to a point where I need to go like 2 weeks without water, I can take care of my own stuff myself. So water has been up and down, and it's maybe we'll see if they finally got around to fixing it. But yeah, so it's all these basic junk things that never used to be a problem. When I was a kid 50 years ago, we didn't have these kinds of problems. But now we do. Isn't it so strange? You'd think we'd have moved forward, but we're moving backwards. The other thing that's come up, Alex, is this stupid COVID Omicron, which apparently originates in South Africa. And now everyone's saying the whole world's getting it, and it's all big panic stations about it. But in South Africa itself, the whites, as usual, are no different to what we were. And none of us have noticed anything new, and at least all the whites that I'm dealing with are not interested in vaccines. We don't want vaccines. But this black Jew president of ours, Ramaphosa, the black Jew, he's now come out and he wants to push vaccinations for everybody in South Africa, and that is kind of scary. And that is something I would never go with. The good news is that I hear that AfriForum, that Afrikaans group, that AfriForum is actually going to take the government to court. on this issue of forcing vaccines. So it may well be that that whites in South Africa are the most resistant to the idea of vaccines.
We've reached the stage where now they're pondering or have basically done complete lockdown in Austria. They're pondering forced vaccinations in Austria and Germany. They certainly are a lot of people in the USA, CNN and other, who would like to force vaccinations in the USA. The Omicron is certainly weaker. I was listening to NPR in the car for a bit, and they were talking about it, and they want to hype it up. Oh, well, we still have to wait. We aren't sure. But basically, it's like all these viruses become weaker over time. So the new variant is weaker than the ones before. So Omicron, there's nothing here. They just are unwilling to relinquish a control mechanism. They're going to keep hyping it and keep using it to clamp down and knock down people. And this one, I don't even think they can keep up the game this winter in the USA. Maybe other places, Germany, they can. But it's pretty much played out here. They're just going to go on with their more trillions of dollars of spending. That's insane. But I think the COVID stuff is getting closer to the end, at least in the USA.
Really? You mean people are people getting sick and tired of it and ignoring it, or is it actually dying out?
It basically depends, and it's like a measure of how connected you are to government. If you're in some kind of school or something, they can force max mandates on the kids. I think they're like Truman State here, the college in town with maybe 6,000 people. They force on people, I think, still inside. But outside of that, no one pays it attention. You see, I would say maybe 5% of people wear masks, you might see, but in some places it's insane. I was in the post office the other day, a guy's trying to mail something to Australia, and they were like trying to figure out, I don't know if they're not even like receiving packages there or what, but this is how insane it is. Like, oh, one person has it and they've locked them in camps. And I saw a story that a couple of Aborigines had escaped from their quarantine camps for the unvaccinated. This is completely insane.
Nuts.
So absolutely resist this, always possible. Basically, you got to get rid of the public schools. Without public schools, the government would have probably half the power it actually has. Those public schools tie all these idiots into the system. They give them money and they feed them ideology that they spread to everyone else. And because they're exactly the worst sort of conformist, they can't even imagine someone being opposed to authority. They are particularly pernicious to the actual valuable general public. You've heard me harp on that many times on Team White. Public schooling is an absolute menace.
Wow. Yeah, Alex, here in South Africa on the vaccine front, I saw today that the huge mining company Anglo American, which is owned by the Jewish Oppenheimer family, who are really the richest people in South Africa, but you don't see them listed like that anymore. They've actually said now that all Anglo American's employees must be vaccinated, and everybody who deals with Anglo American must be vaccinated, contractors, everything.
Yeah.
So these Jews are pushing this thing. That's definitely a Jew thing.
Yeah, that now see, Biden tried to push in a large employer, basically anyone over like 100, was it? I think employees had to get vaccinated in the OSHA. They tried to go around the formal legal process and make it a OSHA. That's a Health and Safety Administration in the USA. Make that an occupational self and make that an OSHA rule in the US. But the court rejected that, I think it was. And so now they're trying other ways to force the vaccine. Of course, there's a constant drumbeat of pressure to get vaccinated, to get a booster shot. But the felt fear among actual people, I think most people are just learning to ignore it. I mean, if you go out nightlife bars and that type of thing, no one pays any attention to that stupid shit. The only people who really do are people, like I say, who are employed by colleges or by the government directly. But even the post office, they stopped making people wear masks long ago. So I'm hoping it will die out. And this Omicron being even weaker than the other variants, I mean, plus none of their tests even test distinguish between any of this. That's what's the ultimate joke is the test doesn't even distinguish between flu, cold, or any of these variations. Now they have tests that can, but they're way too expensive to run. So the test doesn't mean anything. The guy who founded PCR said they were not using it correctly.
Yes.
So What do you want? I think what we got to do is just quit, basically quit talking about it and just ignore it. And yeah, part of resistance is you got to resist. People think this is all an online game and it's just funny. It's not fun. This is your lives. This is our lives. We make the decision. We control our own decisions and our own behavior. You have to resist this. Not don't get the shot. I don't care if there's, oh, there's costs involved. Oh, things could happen to me. Yeah, that's right. That's life. That's how it is. It's not easy. Don't get it. That's what we're here to tell people. That's, I'm here to tell people. I mean, you can tell them to get 5 shots, but I wouldn't do it.
Alex, don't imagine that I am going to stay.
Even who are the real niggers? I mean, it's whites who are getting all these shots. How many Africans are worried about getting a vaccine? They don't care about that, and they have less than this than anywhere.
Even
if they came out Omicron or Omicrocon or whatever the hell it is, came out of Africa. I mean, all right, whatever. Who cares? It's the danger to your health comes from these vaccines that aren't vaccines.
They're little spike
protein manufactories inside of your cells. You don't want that. It's causing all kinds of plots. The reporting system for bad stuff from these shots is made so difficult that you can barely even get reports into it. The media, of course, downplays it, or most of the time it just ignores it. So you have to learn to read between the lines. You have to use your brain to see that when the government is pushing something this hard, how hard do you think they're going to push the actual reality? Well, you already know from crime, it's blacks committing the crime. But when the rare case a white commits a crime, they amplify that. So they're, in this case, when they're all pushing how good the vaccine is, they're hardly going to talk about bad reactions to that, because that undercuts everything that 100% of them are doing. So right there, you know, and if ask around your friends, read around in the internet where it hasn't been deplatformed, you'll see there's loads of terrible reaction to this stuff. And we're only in the first year of people reacting to it. What's going to happen 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line?
Yeah.
You know, you got to use your sense. Don't take this thing.
Alex,
don't take it.
I'm 100% with you. I don't want anybody... I don't want to be vaccinated, even if the government makes it a law. I'm going to stay away from that thing totally. And I know quite a number of people, at least in my circles, all the people in my circles agree. Nobody's going to let themselves be vaccinated. They don't want to touch that thing with a barge pole. And you've got that mRNA in you. And that there's also that particular chemical, I'm not sure if it's graphene oxide or something, that can travel through every part of your body. So it's not just like you're going to get an injection and it just goes in your bloodstream. It can go into your brain, into your heart, into everything.
Yeah, that I've read a lot of this on LouRockwell.com. It's probably my main source. I look at Mercola, who is a suppressed doctor. He's an actual MD. It can cross the blood-brain barrier. It gets into all of your organs, and it's not any good for them. Yeah, they put it in your shoulder, but then it gets into all the rest of you. They've studied that and found that. So the facts are out there. Even the studies are out there. The doctors who know what to do are out there, but they're being actively suppressed. And most of the doctors, this is the problem you get. People think socialist medicine is such a good idea. When you force everybody into one system and you make all their money and their employment and their lifestyle and their income dependent on going along with the people at the top who make the decision, you're only a few heroes are going to dare to stand up to that. The rest are going to keep quiet, even if their eyes tell them as they see patient after patient after, well, I've seen this and this and this. You'll just get the occasional nurse or doctor here or there who says, well, here's what I've actually seen inside the hospital that suggests to me that there's some big kind of problem with adverse events, including death from these stupid fake vaccines, right? But the vast majority of them are going to keep quiet so they can preserve their income. That's what you have when you have a completely centralized monopoly like medicine almost is. We have the worst. We have the name of a free medicine system or a free capitalist system with the reality of a centralized control of a few giant companies. Like everything else, it's not completely centralized, but it's a lot of giant consolidated companies that are all operating under Medicare and federal government rules that basically establish what they're allowed to do. And then the minute you go outside, then they cut you off and then you can't get any income. They don't let anybody practice. They basically, it's exactly parallel to Pollock's. They don't let anybody who disagrees with them practice medicine. essentially, or under in such difficult conditions that they can hardly get by. And that's why you're going to see very few speak out. And yet there have been a good number of people who have spoken out, including the guy who invented PCR before he died, and the guy who invented the mTRRNA guy, some Irish name, I remember. He's been on Lou Rockwell, and they're saying these guys are completely wrong about this. So yeah, if you want spike proteins manufactured in your body, then take the vaccine. But if you do that, you're endangering your health. You're not threatened by a cold. And if you are, it's probably because you're already fat and useless. You need to get slimmer. You need to stop eating sugar. You need to do you can do keto, or you don't even have to do keto. You just got to basically stop eating so many damn carbohydrates. Okay. Because sugar is what is causing all of this disease out there. This morbid obesity among Americans is caused by not eating correctly. And all these people who actually are dying, whether they're dying with or of the cough, it's because in the vast majority of cases, they're very old people and they're already very sick. And the ones who aren't that old are dying of these stupid fake vaccines.
Yes.
So
yeah,
Alex, look what you can do to control your own health. Doctors aren't there to make you healthy. They can fix some of your problems. They can't fix your emotional problems. They can't fix your lifestyle problems. And you don't even need a doctor to figure out what you need to do to fix them, because you can simply go on the internet, go on YouTube and look up Ekberg. There's a Steven Ekberg. He's a former decathlete from, I think, Sweden. He's a MD. He will tell you exactly what to eat. He will tell you how to exercise. You can learn all of this in literally like 1 hour of research. It's not complicated. It's basically avoiding the vegetable oils and avoiding sugar is the main things you do. Well, what do I do first? Replace the sugar with stevia. It's a little more expensive. But sugar causes inflammation, which is at the heart of the diabetes and all the, and heart disease and the rest of this. It's not fats. It's not salt that are the problem. It's sugar. Okay. Yes. That simple. That's how, and then, you know, just eat moderately and then walk around. That's really all you got to do. And you do some weight exercises, because as you get older, you tend to get frail, and that opens the door to bad stuff. So you've got to constantly be working your muscles to some extent. You keep strong muscles, they burn up the energy, and they keep your frame in shape, in the right shape, and keep your bones strong. So that's it in a nutshell. It's not even interesting. It's just necessary.
Very good stuff, Alex. Definitely. Sugar is cancer is also a thing that I put out a long time ago. But you're right. Sugar is the deadly thing. That's the key poison. And we are eating sugar. Sugar exists in our food in levels that are insanely
high. It's
higher.
Parallel to the sexual garbage in the media is sugar being injected into every food stuff. Like they say, if it's in a box or a bag, you don't want it. You got to eat on the periphery of the store, not the crap in the middle in the boxes that is all processed, that they've injected loads of shit that you don't need. Just eat food. Eat meat, drink water, eat some vegetables, a little bit of fruit. That's it.
Yes.
The extent you go beyond that, you're going to mess up your health.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to be 100%, but on the sugar and the vegetable oils, you got to be pretty close to it. And they inject sugar into everything, into all the condiments. They inject it into places it doesn't need to be. So again, do 2 hours of research on this, and you will have all you need to know to live out the rest of your life. It's not really that complicated.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a health nut, but you got to be a nut about avoiding stuff that interferes, impedes with your living a good, healthy life, and also shortens your life. So you know not to smoke, you know not to do all this other stuff, but to avoid sugar and avoid the processed vegetable oils, avocado oil, what's the other one? Olive oil, cold pressed olive oil. There you go. Cook with those. Use butter. Butter and olive oil, cold pressed olive oil. That's how you do it. You avoid the vegetable oil and avoid the sugar. That's it. You're 90% of the way there by avoiding the sugar and the vegetable oil. And the rest is just do some little exercise. And, you know, like I said, then that's part of Team White is what your personal. The personal is political. Well, if you want to not be morbidly obese, not be sick, not die early, have plenty of energy, this is the way to do it. And it is science you can actually believe in. Look up Steven Ekberg, Stefan Ekberger's It's some maybe some Swedish form, but it's EKBERG. Watch his. There's other good doctors on there. He's just one. Tell you which fish to eat, et cetera, which berries to eat, et cetera, et cetera. He'll say what I'm saying because I'm more or less quoting him and a few others. I've read Atkins and I've read several others over the year to see what they all agree on. And that's basically what I do. And it works pretty well.
Yeah, Alex, very well put. I've also learned, even in my own case, processed foods, things in boxes, be very careful. That's where your problems
come. Yeah, bags
come.
Of potato chip and, you know, boxes of processed crackers. It's just empty carbohydrates and all the stuff that's just junk filled with sugar, stuff you heat up. No, you want to be eating steam vegetables to keep their enzymes, you know, broccoli, cauliflower, asparagus. Eat red meat is good for you. Of course, they demonize it. Eat steak, it's better if you eat cows that are fed grass, because that's what cows naturally eat, not the crap they feed them like corn and other crap in America. But yeah, you will have to pay more for that if you do it. But that's kind of a secondary level stuff. Avoiding sugar is more important than basically anything.
Yes, yes. And I was quite horrified the other day. I published a thing of all the people who've had amputations as a result of getting the quotes vaccine. I couldn't believe it. It was that was a shocking page with all the photos. You know,
in this country, diabetes is such a huge problem, and yet the people with diabetes are never doing anything to help themselves. I mean, here's an example: a diabetic, you know, a big fat 250-pound woman, and in her kitchen, what has she got? She's got a goddamn like a peach cobbler pie or something like that. This is how you kill yourself early. And even if you don't die early, you're killing yourself in life because you're losing energy. You're eating something that's almost pure sugar and you're a diabetic and you're eating it's peach or whatever it is, but it's just loads and loads and loads of sugar and breaded stuff. This is the stuff that kills you. Stuff like donuts is exactly what you should not be eating. Donuts, pies, cakes. That is the stuff that is absolute killer. It's just pure sugar. It spikes your insulin and it brings out your cortisol, and that puts fat on your belly and you become insulin resistant from this constant ingestion of sugar. Your body can't handle it and you mess yourself up. You mess up your hormones that way. So you really got to avoid it. So just pick a month, eat the way you are if you have trouble, and then just on the first of a month, just stop what you're doing that doesn't work. Okay? And take it day by day, like Alcoholics Anonymous, whatever bad habit you have, and just don't do it today.
Nice, nice.
I may want this, but I'm not going to do it today. And then just say that same thing tomorrow. That'll work. It's proven to work. And over time, over a couple of weeks, it takes a few weeks for something to become a habit. You form the right habits are as easy to form as the wrong habits. It's a little hard, but you can do it. And you need to do it. That's what we're here to preach is Team White. Part of this personal success, there's financial, but there's physical. Keep the physical basis of your brain and your body so that they can work together and you can work for decades and continue to build yourself and the people around you up. This is part of it. This is your duty to yourself, is one way to look at it.
Wonderfully
said. Take care
of
yourself.
Wonderfully said, Alex. Before I forget, Alex, just a quick note about Alison Chablot. It's the last thing on my list. Alison Chablot, I had a bit of a communication with her. Alison Chablot cannot talk or say anything in public at all. She cannot breathe a word about anything because she's under so many freaking court orders and threats and things. And her stuff, she's got all kinds of things in place that are going to keep her quiet for months to come. And there are still other people trying to get her back into court and everything. They've been hitting her six ways to Sunday. So
my goodness, what does she live in North Korea?
She almost. It's called Britain.
My God, it sounds like a horrible place.
It's dreadful, Alex. It's she seriously, she, I mean, she's been in and out of jail twice this year, but Alex, she cannot say a fucking word. They've got so many conditions and things on her, and I think she had said something about something in the past, and that was already one of the reasons why she went to jail. And her stuff, there are court orders and timelines and all kinds of things. I don't quite know when Alison Chablot will be able to like really talk again. Maybe later next year. We're gonna have to see, but it's nasty, Alex. They are constantly hunting, and there's a new court case. There's yet another Jew court case coming up for her as well.
What, for a song lyric or something she's wrote online or?
It's also something. I'm not sure if it's poetry or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
It's
I mean,
something similar.
writing a song that contains any lyric critical of Jews is a crime in the Britain, is what they're trying to make it sound like. And apparently it is because she's been thrown in jail. So you must never ever criticize
Twice.
Jews. And I read in the paper here, oh, we're lighting our national menorah. Did you know the USA has a national menorah? I thought we had separation of church and state. How can we have a national menorah? And I saw
Probably the president, hey? The
Oh,
White
yeah,
House.
they put a menorah directly on the White House lawns. And I saw another story from San Francisco where all the stores are boarded up because they're letting these nigger thieves run wild because they made any theft under $1,000. Essentially, they're not prosecuting it. So they've had all these gangs breaking in all over San Francisco that in a lot of the streets, all the stores are boarded up. And now these gangs have even spread down to LA. So, you know. And I read out there, the reason I mentioned it was they were having some big menorah lighting out in San Francisco too. So this is what you get with Judeo-liberalism. Nigger gangs roaming free, whites abused in public schools, attacked on the street, driven over by cars,
Oh
right? And
yes, Alex, that Christmas Day, that Christmas parade
Waukesha, yeah.
massacre. Oh
Yeah,
man.
the media is uniformly refuses to attribute the blame to a white-hating nigger. Instead, they blame SUVs and cars, and they call it a tragedy, like something that, oh, it just had to happen. There's nothing we could have done about it. Meanwhile, this nigger had been engaged in some other car attack earlier and been allowed out on a $1,000 bond. Meanwhile, all the people who walked into the Capitol on January 6 are being beaten to the point of death inside the prison and being tortured for simply walking inside the U.S. Capitol. So yeah, the USA has completely got a dual track justice system right now, 100%.
Well, I mean, that film footage where that black ran over those women in that parade, I mean, you can see
Yeah,
that
it's
is
kids and
no
old people, yeah.
accident. That guy's absolutely deliberate. He's like aiming for them and carrying on.
Yep,
That's
he
not
was.
normal.
No, and they had found postings from him. He's anti-white, pro-BLM. I don't know if he's a member of BLM. What I don't even know if a member of BLM even means anything, but a supporter. Yeah, he was very anti-white and just a typical useless nigger idiot with a rap sheet a mile long. Like, it's just funny whenever they talk about white privilege, and yet no white with rap sheet as long as these niggers who commit crimes literally every day of the year would be anywhere near the streets. You know, we
Yes.
saw the just to dig into the U.S. stuff we talked about last week. I mean, Aubrey, the nigger who attacked the white guy with a gun and got shot. So now three whites are convicted of murder for that. So the day after we recorded last time, Rittenhouse was found not guilty. So a lot of people were taking great solace in that and thinking it a
Yes.
great victory. But really, it's not. I mean, the people were on tape threatening him, and he was clearly arrested. There was absolutely no doubt he was defending himself. So yeah, they did reach the right verdict, but the guy down in Georgia, they've got three of them convicted of murder, and the other trial up in Charlottesville, yeah, the Jews. And I read even the two lawyers who were going after the whites, who were at Unite the Right, were Kaplan and Dunn. And apparently even, of course, the minute you don't even look into it, Dunn apparently is a Jew too, which is hilarious. Dunn being a classical, typical Irish name. Nope, I guess she's a Jew too. I read that. I have not personally researched it and verified it, but certainly I believe Kaplan is. I've never heard of a non-Jew named Kaplan. But anyway, they got a judgment, very heavy monetary fines, not as heavy as they wanted. Completely ridiculous. These guys went to Charlottesville. Like I said, the cops, Brad Griffin at Occidental Dissent had a very good write-up that I posted the other day on Kirksville Today. And basically, these guys went there. The only talk they ever had, everything, if you talk about defending yourself from being attacked by the communists, then in court, that becomes you planning to attack them. That's their typical inversion of reality, but they were not planning to attack anybody. At most of these types of smaller rallies, see, what the cops do is get in between the warring sides. They'll get in between the Antifa, who wants to attack the good white people. Here, they stayed aside, and they let Antifa block the park where the whites and the right-wingers had a permit to speak. And then later, so they didn't do what they normally did. And this was all pre-planned for the Hafey or Hefe report. And then later they shoved the white right-wingers into the Antifa to get them attacked and hopefully beaten up. So they were completely guilty. Everybody at Charlottesville on the white right side was completely innocent. This is absolute black and white. And yet the verdict came back and they're all guilty. I don't know if they threw out any charges. They may have reduced. They didn't fine them as much as they wanted, but they were still fined minimum hundreds of thousands of dollars for these people who did nothing but try to speak on a permit. So Spencer and several others are screwed by this.
Cantwell.
Cantwell. And apparently Cantwell was the best lawyer in the trial, even though he's not technically a lawyer. But in reality, is far quicker witted and far more intelligent than anyone else in the courtroom, is what I took away from the Eric Stryker's National Justice Reports written by Trey Garrison, I think it was. NJP was trying to spin it as, oh, we're going to appeal. This was a weak decision. They didn't get what they want. But I don't know. I see it. Kaplan more or less got what she wanted. We're essentially, and she almost said this in so many words, we are trying to cancel the First Amendment. The freedom of the press, the right to freely assemble and redress grievances. We are trying to cancel the First Amendment for white men.
Wow.
For all whites. That's more or less what she said. She used slightly different words, but that's exact. We want to make sure they can never, ever do something like this again. Well, all they did was assemble and try to speak. And if you want to say, oh, the guy drove the car, that guy was attacked in his car. He was desperately trying to escape and get home. They recognized him as not one of them and attacked him. He tried to get away, essentially. And if some of them died who are fat, obese, and in the street, that's not his fault. His case, James Alex Fields, was as pure a case of railroading as you will see anywhere in U.S. history. And maybe 50, 100 years from now, if whites ever pull their head out of their ass and figure out what's going on, that will be recognized. But all they get in their classrooms, they read books about innocent blacks who are accused, like A Time to Kill, or innocent blacks who were raped, A Time to Kill by, you know, a pop novelist, John Grisham, because he got that out of he's a lawyer from Mississippi. He wrote a very popular book that was made into a movie called A Time to Kill. Well, he supposedly took that from a real case, and I spent hours trying to find what case he got that from. I never could, but I would be willing to bet my last dollar he reversed the race involved, because his book had like Klansmen raping a black girl, something we know in reality does not happen. And his book really stirred up hatred of whites, and the movie really stirred up hatred of whites. And they also read what's the one with Atticus Finch and based on or Emmett Till is another one they're always bringing up, but To Kill a Mockingbird, another one where a white woman accuses a black of raping her and she's lying and he's innocent. So they're constantly preaching this stuff about black innocence being defamed by evil whites. This is what all white kids are fed in school long before critical race theory was ever evolved. They were being taught this garbage back in my time, and I'm sure before my time, at least back to the 60s. They've had a steady diet of what essentially is critical race theory. It's hatred of whites, promotion of colored, discolored, promotion of Jews as these heavenly angels who are poor, innocent victims. So regardless of whether you call it CRT or not, it's everywhere in these curriculums. And now at least a couple more teachers have come forward and pointed this out. They're like, I don't give a damn whether you call it CRT or not. It's in everything. The same way sugar is stuck in all these foods where it doesn't naturally occur. Do you see all the parallels here, people? You don't even have to list the ingredients of all these vaccines, and they're indemnified against all legal claims if they don't work out. Why the hell would you take something like, well, I'm going to be safe because the government says I'm going to be... You don't even know what you're taking, you fucking idiot. You literally don't know. You're purely relying on trust of people who have proven at every possible instance they are utter and complete liars. You are a fool if you believe anything they say. Anything. Right down to the sky is blue. Go check. They lie about everything.
Alex, and, I agree with you. The more I look at,
The point I was trying to make is James Alex Fields was completely and utterly railroaded. And that's the one instance where you could say, well, his car hit someone. Yeah, his car did. They were attacking him. The rest of them, they were attacked by the Antifa just as James Alex Field was. These men at Unite the Right were 100% guilty, absolute black and white, open and shut case. And yet they were found guilty by a bunch of essentially whites who are too cowardly to use their brains to figure out what's going on inside with it. I think Rittenhouse got a little lucky up in Wisconsin. Why? I don't know. His lawyer picked a better jury. I don't know. I don't know why the people in Charlottesville didn't have the moral courage or the brains to see the reality of it. But we have such a garbage, obese, slavey-minded population now that so servile, so unwilling to say to stand up to anything that's not what you hear on TV, that it's all but hopeless in a lot of ways. Until they come around and say, look, we have to reunite. We have to unite on the basis of race, not on the basis of race and religion, not on the basis of religion alone, not on the basis of race and religion. That is absolutely weak. It will absolutely fall apart. It has to be purely on the basis of race. That's where we come together. We agree on its importance, and we fight from that basis. We're not here for Christianity at all. We're against Christianity because it is against us. It comes from Jews. And that's what I'm most vociferous about nowadays. That's the part that people need to understand. We have successfully spread the accurate view of Jews. Let's call it that, most simply, because that's all it is. It doesn't even matter if you're a white nationalist. What we say about Jews is 100% true. We don't make up a single thing about them. We don't need to. They need to make up lies about us. So we have spread the accurate view of Jews very broadly, thanks to the internet around the world, even despite all their deplatforming. Now we need to work on the Jews' most successful front group, Christianity, and how that's anti-white. And that's what I mainly concern myself with, at least on social media. And like I've said, I'm going to be recording every day in the new year. So I'll have lots more time to talk about that stuff, as well as on Team Whites that we're going to do with Jan and anyone else who's not imprisoned for speaking the truth to power, as the leftist loves to cantingly say.
Yeah, Alex, glad to hear that you're going to be busy doing some more recordings in the new year. I'm also going to be pulling out other stuff that hasn't seen the light of day for years that I also want to put on my website. So yeah, good. You got to spread the truth.
And I linked to Jan's stuff at Kirksville today. You go to kirksville.com. I call it a daily digest from the white point of view. I post it every day, usually in the evening, and it has the day that's coming. It is the date of the next day after midnight. So about once I do, that's what I can do. And that I do that once a day. It's a digest of all the good stuff I find around the web. And we have Gail writing interesting stuff about Christianity. And I believe he may be from Europe. If you can guess where a Gale might be from in Europe. And we have all Jan stuff. I post that as well as stuff from Lou Rockwell and a number of other sites. Anything I find that's good. So full information if you're seeking it. I also post a lot of health stuff. And the final thing I post is, like I've talked about today, and I also post a lot of crypto stuff, which is one of the most important things going on, is that you listening to this not only avoid sugar and acquire, but acquire Bitcoin. I'll make it that simple. I won't even talk about other cryptos. Just acquire Bitcoin. Okay. Plan B, who has been right on where the price would be the last 3 months, was egregiously wrong. One of his three models was egregiously wrong. This was the first time this model had failed to be met in 10 years in Bitcoin's entire history. And the model said that the absolute low for Bitcoin should be 98K at, or I'm sorry. Yeah. 98K at the end of November, but instead it was 57. So it was off by 41. It had literally never been off before. So I still believe it's headed up. It's a good time to acquire it. You're not too late in the 50,000s. It's still a good time to acquire Bitcoin. I 100% believe that.
Whose model are you talking about? Kaiser's model.
Guy's name is Plan B. He's a European investment professional. He works in the back house of a bank, and he has three different models for predicting the price of Bitcoin. And his floor price model, not his stock to flow, which he's most famous for, but his floor price had called the price the last 3 months accurate. It was within 1,000, within 1,000, and then within 2,000. It was off by like 2,000 last month. It was exactly 43, 47, and then I forget what it was, like 50-something last month. And then this month, it was supposed to be 98, because we're in the best part of the four-year cycle that Bitcoin has been on for 10, 11, 12 years. We're at the very highest point of the cycle. It should have gone way up. However, a lot more people are into Bitcoin. The price isn't maybe quite as volatile as it used to be. So this was the first time that model, going back historically, had ever been wrong. And it's way, way wrong. He's saying Bitcoin should be up almost, it should go, as his price for the end of December on that model was 135K. For November was ending November at 98K. But in actuality, it ended November at 57K. So it's way, way off. But if you still basically think he's right, it's still low. All these people are still projecting it to be into the hundreds of thousands before too awful long. Some say, you know, a few months, some say a few years, but it's going to keep going up. And on that point, El Salvador has made Bitcoin legal tender, and even Kaiser, who has been the number one proponent and promoter of Bitcoin, he called for it to be 220,000 at the end of the year. Now, I said back in June, I predicted 76,000. So I'm looking better than all these suckers right now. But, and he also predicted silver would be 100 at the end of the year. I predicted 26 at the end of the year. It's actually like 23 or even lower. But Kaiser put out the idea of Volcano Bond funded Bitcoin mining in El Salvador. And by God, it's small enough. People hear him, and the community has done this, and now they're floating these bonds. So El Salvador is turning to have, and the country under Nayib Bukele is, how he got that name, I don't know if he's Arab or what, but he's in El Salvador. They are buying Bitcoin, and they are saying, fuck you to the IMF. They are breaking free of the international global slavery financial system. Who was the last guy who did that? You say Hitler, I say, no, son, it was Gaddafi. Remember? And what happened to Gaddafi? Oh, they beat the hell out of him and stuffed the board up his ass. Who before that? Hitler. This is where the actual change comes from. And Max Kaiser and his wife are the two biggest promoters who are thinking about becoming El Salvadoran citizens. Now, if you're young, you might even want to think they're building a Bitcoin city down there. Imagine hard money. Hard money means even if you have the lowest job, you can save money and invest it, and it can't be stolen from you by the debasement called inflation that comes from money printing by the people running the central bank. This is the future, even for white politics. Now, none of these guys, they're not white nationalists. They're like, oh, this is going to be better for everybody, and maybe it will, but they are technically taking out one of the two main supports of Judaism, which is control of the mass media and control of the money. This is swinging an axe directly into Bitcoin, is swinging an axe directly into the pillar of central bank controlled by Jew money. You see that? They're actually attacking the root of the pillar of Jewish control, which is control of the currency and the money. So they can enslave you and take your earnings and feed it to their friends by printing money, thereby devaluing the value of the money that you have earned by honest labor. This is how Jews parasitize and steal and enslave people, right? And when you have all that money, then you can buy up all the mass media and you can normalize this enslavement by hiding it or by giving it different names. Critical race theory, multiculturalism, diversity, all this shit when you have the mass media, because leftists can't meme. They don't need to meme because the ultimate meme is repetition, and that comes from centralized monopoly media control. Do you understand? If you're young, you might seriously think about leaving the horrible, increasingly terrible USA and going down to El Salvador and checking out that scene down there. Because you might have a future down there. There's no future in the USA. There's going to be a lot more and bad and worse before it gets better here.
Absolutely.
Believe that.
Absolutely, Alex. Yeah, you people, everybody is going down. Everyone's going down. We're also going down to even newer, lower levels. There's the only future is a nastier future.
What else is going on in South Africa? I know you have several other items you wanted to talk about. Now, electricity, generally, you're just having the same, like what? Do you have rolling brownouts or just, are they scheduled or are they unscheduled?
Alex, at the moment, no. At the moment, we don't have any rolling brownouts. Several weeks ago, we were having them up to three times a day. They tried to schedule them, but the reality is they change their schedules. And so eventually I just get tired of looking for schedules. People have had apps to look at. People have had the stuff published on the internet, etc. But in the end, eventually it doesn't last because they can say, oh, we're on this schedule for this week. And then later something breaks and then they say we've changed from level two to level three. And now under that schedule system, it works like this. So to be honest with you, I don't even bother. You get so tired of it after a time. I just know that the lights have gone off when they go off. but I'm so well prepared with my solar and my batteries that I function day or night, regardless of how it goes. So I'm always kind of ready for an outage, and you get used to it. And in my case, because I've got my own stuff that I run, I'm quite happy. I can look after, you see, I can look after my own things. I know how to fix my battery banks, my inverters, all my stuff. So I look after my solar myself, which makes my life.
That's awesome.
That makes life much easier, and it works well. I'm telling you, Alex, I've learned so much from this. Very useful, because I've realized that I realized years ago already that, you know, in 2008 was the first time outages began. And then they go through phases, Alex, where they went through phases where for a couple of years we hardly had any outages, but I'd bought a generator as a result of the first ones. But now the charts are showing, Alex, the charts are showing that the last 3 years we have got outages like never before, and each year is getting worse. This year is already the worst of all time. But what they do try to do that does make life more bearable is when they do the rolling brownouts or blackouts, they do it in short periods of time, from 2 hours to 4 hours. So you're not out for like 8 hours. And so for most people, they can handle that. Like a 2 hour outage, you know, is okay for most people. But in my case, I'm prepared for long outages. I'm planning ahead and I'll be adding to my solar and stuff. And as stupid as we are, Alex, as stupid as this country is, and this country is idiotic, the blacks are always talking up a storm as if we're in the space age. Oh God, Alex, that's another thing. The government even said they want to start a space program. I'm not joking with you. These fucking fools are talking about putting a satellite up. but between you and me, it almost sounds It sounds like we're not going to be putting up many satellites. It sounds like one satellite, maybe. Maybe we'll have a whole industry just for one satellite. That was sort of what I was picking up on this. Believe it or not, the whites under apartheid, do you know, under apartheid, Alex, the whites actually in the 1980s, the whites at a point in time actually said that they were thinking of starting a space program. We're talking around about 1985, 86, 87. Under apartheid, the government was thinking of doing a space program. And I read about it later in the military literature. Do you know that South Africa actually technically got into space in the 1980s using various rockets? They were building missiles and rockets, and there was a specific type of rocket that they bought from Israel, and they were actually technically able to get into space, with space being 100 kilometers in the 1980s. They were doing it. Their main goal for this, though, was they were building missiles and rockets because of the war that was going on. And so rockets, they also did other smaller rockets and things that they were using on military vehicles. They were also using them on planes. The whites of South Africa were on the edge of having a space program. The reason they didn't go for a space program was there wasn't anything further to benefit from. They just basically needed to get the rocketry sorted out, and then that was good enough. They didn't need to go further into launching satellites. And so we're talking like 35 years ago, okay? The whites were already at that point in South Africa. Now the blacks are starting to pretend that they also want to now do something. But rest assured, when they do it, it's going to cost billions and trillions and trillions, because everyone's going to be sticking there. They're going to be wasting money. They're going to be stealing. Everyone's going to have a finger in the pie the way that they normally do. You'll see. It'll cost insane amounts of money because they're busy stealing. But the other thing I wanted to mention with the rolling blackouts is they are saying it's getting worse and worse, but the big thing is businesses and stuff that are saying they can build their own power plants and they want to feed it back into the thing. They were even trying to bring in ships from Turkey, ships that are electricity generating ships. Can you believe? I didn't know such things existed. And
That's pathetic.
they're doing all these things because the blacks can't build and fix the existing electricity generating plants. But anyway, among their stupid stuff that they're talking, as they talk their fanciful, fantastic future junk, and it's all junk, is they were saying they want to roll out, can you believe, electric cars in South Africa. Here we are in the worst electricity situation ever, and they are saying that it's going to carry on like this for years and years and years, and the government suddenly jumps up and says, "Oh, we're going to do electric cars as well." No, no, you're not, you fools, you lying scum. And and there are some people selling electric cars, but they're insanely expensive. I was looking at like the cheapest electric car the other day. It costs twice as much as my house, and that's the cheapest. And I have my own little idea for solar. If there's anybody who'd be interested in some electric cars, it will be me. And I was doing some of my own bit of thinking of maybe 5 years from now, I'll go and fiddle with electric cars, but I'll do it on for virtually. Pennies on the dollar when I look at it later, because and then I would charge my vehicle with my own solar power. I wouldn't want to use government power because then it'll cost you more than freaking petrol. And my distances are short anyway, so I don't need to go far. But for the vast majority of people, electric cars aren't going to work, except for people in the city who don't have far to go. And South Africa is a lot like America. There are people who travel long distances. Electric cars aren't going to work for them. Plus, you have zero infrastructure for it. And what are you going to do with a country that can't even generate electricity on time? The whole thing's ridiculous, Alex. And that's pretty much the last thing that I had on my list.
Okay.
So you say that in those cases in America that Spencer, Cantwell, and is it Fields, that they are.
No, the Fields case was separate and already completed long ago, and they found him guilty and gave him like 400 years.
Wow,
This
that is
trial,
crazy.
the trial in Charlottesville was Spencer and about seven others. Spencer and Kessler being the two main figures, and then they were also going after League of the South and a couple other groups, I forget, as well as Cantwell. Yeah. So they had a kind of a collective, and it was a civil trial. And yeah, they basically found them all guilty, and they fined them not quite as much as they had wanted or the Jews had wanted, but still hundreds of thousands at a minimum, if not more.
Wow.
So
Hundred, I
presumably
mean,
there was reaction. Yeah. Oh no,
hundred,
they think.
hundreds of thousands is insane. Hundreds
Yeah.
of thousands, insane.
And this
Wow.
is with there's no conviction. This is a civil trial. They just have to find the preponderance. Oh yeah, and there's no analysis here. It's simply an inversion of the reality of the situation. These politicized students were trying to prevent white men from speaking, and they conspired along with the city and the cops at the behest of the higher political powers to deny white men their civil rights, which is how they always like to put it. That's exactly what happened. And now they're suing them. It's just a complete flipping of reality in
Wow.
order to suppress whites and make sure that whites. As she said, as Kaplan said, never do anything like this again. What? Organize in public, speak to defend themselves, pretend they have their own white interests. Yeah, they don't want you doing any of that. They just want you a deracinated computer, deracinated consumer. They can abuse at will in all of the classrooms, and your race is evil, and then breed you out of existence. And they're happy with the way things are going. And I don't personally believe anything except maybe financial collapse will change things, or whites coming together on the basis of race. But it clearly establishes that the courts and outdoor rallies are, to me, kind of
No
past the
more.
point at this point. I mean, now the NJP, which seems to be the main political actor, left, and I guess they weren't involved, or even, I'm not sure they even existed back then. The National Justice Party, which is Eric Stryker and Mike Painovich, or Painovich, however it's pronounced, I've never been part of that circle, but they held a rally outside of Waukesha, where the nigger ran over and killed like six whites and injured a bunch more, calling for him to be given a for his crime to be considered a hate crime. So they were out there holding up
Yeah.
posters. But I don't know. I think we're past all that. I really do. I think it's violence or nothing, because nothing in the system is going to work. And now, at the same time, another trial, Ghislaine Maxwell, the number two to Jew Epstein, the
Yeah.
child predator who had this other Jew, Ghislaine Maxwell, related to the media magnate, gathering up women for him. Well, there's loads of shots where Trump was involved with all these people. So which friend of Epstein do you want to be president? I mean, that's the situation where you're voting. That's who you're voting for. And now all these women are coming out and talking about the stuff she did. It's getting a little coverage, but of course, it's not covered in the right way. Like, this is Jews preying on white girls all over the world. We simply
Yes.
have to exterminate Jews, is what it comes down to. And there's no use beating around the bush about it. The only reason that's even controversial or confusing is because of Christianity, which Jews created, trying to turn their own extermination into a moral problem and resulting in the Catholic doctrine, Sicut Judaeus non, don't harm the Jews. Well, why shouldn't I harm the Jews? They're harming me. Oh no, it's immoral to do anything about the Jews. You have to let them do what they do, and you must not harm them. Right? And this is Catholic doctrine and has been for like basically 1500 years. And this is why Christianity is the root of the problem. It was created and spread by Jews, and it's the reason whites have a double clutch and they're afraid to defend themselves because they think they're being immoral. If they treat people as anything other than individuals, Christianity tells them they're being immoral. If they acknowledge that in nature there are competing species that fight for domination and living space to the extinction of one of the two competitive parties, then they're being immoral. But even if you believe God created nature, these are the rules nature operates by. So there's an intellectual problem there that Christians never address.
Yes.
And are seldom even criticized from. But I live in the world of reality, and there's no God in reality. And nature is what it is. And the fact is, this race is trying to wipe our race out, and they don't give a damn about Christianity. Christianity is in every micro cell of America. At the same time, America is going straight downhill. Christianity is everywhere. It is open, and it is doing business. In every single county in America, Christianity is thriving and flourishing. So if you think Christianity has anything to do to stand against the prevailing nonsense, you are completely counterfactually wrong. Okay?
Well, Alex, this is like South Africa. The people here believed so deeply in Christianity.
Whites are a sucker race.
Yeah, and they believe in this thing. And
imagine going, you go to a church and you hear about this other nation of people that has nothing to do with you. They're not you. You're worshiping Jews. You're learning their history, which isn't even real history, but that's beside the point. Why do you care? What has this people got to do with Europeans? What have they got to do with your kind? Nothing. What has the Bible got to do with anything related to us? Nothing. It's absolute insanity. And it's just so deeply entrenched that we can't perceive that.
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I look at this Bible stuff and all these Middle Eastern stories, and that's not our history. That's not where we come from. That's not us.
Nasty, stupid stuff. It should be thrown away. Just disgusting, nasty Jewish crap. Just read Genesis. And I'm not coming. I love these idiots. And most Christians are just idiots. Read the Bible. I've read the fucking Bible, you fucking retard. I went to Sunday school for 20 years. I know what they're saying. I've studied Catholicism pretty intensely the last 4 or 5 years. Okay. It's not European. It has nothing to do with Europe. It has nothing to do with our race. It's complete garbage. You can't even prove the clown that they're celebrating as God ever even existed. And all the shit he is teaching is anti-white anyway. And you've got a Jew, Marcus Eli Ravage, who admits exactly what the deal was. Yeah, they jacked this doctrine into Rome to destroy a white nation that they hated, which was Rome.
Yes.
Because it's universal. It dissolves. It's just like multiculturalism. I don't care what race you are, what class you are, what your ancestry. Come here and break bread with me and worship this Jew as God. Raceless worship of this body of a Jew as God, of scum, of criminals, of bums, of low rent, no good people. It's a mass scum religion, worshiping a Jew as God. I can't see how that could possibly be good for Jews. Well, it is.
I was sitting.
It's obvious. And we need to abandon it completely. Let it die among whites. Let it be the third world garbage religion. It won't affect us there. But when we believe that stuff, we are damaged by it. It's not true. Okay, if you need no other reason not to be a Christian, Christianity, the claims it is based on are not true.
Well, it's Alex.
Not true.
Do you
care about the truth? You can be a Christian and you can embrace the truth, but you can't be both.
Well, lately I've been hauling out my Julius Caesar's writings. Because I wanted to do some videos for people about the writings of Julius Caesar, and it's so refreshing, Alex, to read European history 2,000 years ago to see what were white people actually like in Europe 2,000 years ago. And no, they weren't running around with donkeys and goats and camels. They were busy building civilizations, running countries. Even the so-called barbarians that Julius Caesar is looking down on, even the so-called barbarians are very functional people. They are building towns and cities. They've got laws. They've got legal structures. They've got a very good legal system, all these people, I must tell you. They do have some of their own beliefs and things, but I mean, the whole system is very, very functional. 2,000 years ago of European history, if you had to compare that with like Africa 50, 60 years ago, you would see that even the Europeans 2,000 years ago had much more functional society than modern Africa. Totally functional. You could go and strike deals with people. You could order goods. People would manufacture and sell goods. I was absolutely delighted. It never ceases to amaze me is shipbuilding. Building a ship is not an easy task, okay? And there's Julius Caesar, and he goes and he organizes with some people, and he says, "Listen, I need so many ships of this size, they must be like this, and I want so many ships of that size, and you've got to have it all ready in so many weeks' time, and I'll pay you, and I need those ships, I need to go do my stuff." Everything is so freaking functional in Europe 2,000 years ago. Completely different to all those biblical junk stories. It's totally different. It's nothing like it at all.
Yeah, I mean, you know what they will, the Catholic argument will be, oh, Germany was just a bunch of pig chasers until we showed up in 8700, and then it took us 1,000 years to turn them into humans.
No,
But it's funny,
no,
they never talk about
no.
what was going on in Rome. They never talk about all the stuff they destroyed. They don't even acknowledge a racial argument. You say, okay, well, go, why were the people in Rome so far advanced? I mean, Christianity didn't bring civilization anywhere. Rome was civilized before Christianity ever existed, and before Rome,
Yes.
Greece was civilized. And these are the white race. They were so then their next step, they have to pretend that whiteness doesn't exist, and that everything is simply a matter of cultural software that they alone are the Microsoft or the Apple of, and every other thing is worthless, and their culture equals civilization, which is not true. And then they claim that Jews only exist because when they started denying Jesus, and that defines them. That again is wrong. Now, this is actually worthy of a book. One of the few books that hasn't been written. The rest is just repetitious stuff about IQ and whatever. But Christianity is the most success, the worst thing that ever happened to Europeans, and the most successful front group Jews ever created.
Christianity.
Yep, and we have to be absolutely against it. I firmly believe that. That's one area my views have somewhat changed in 20 years. I was always against Christianity, but I didn't realize the full importance of how the depth of the problem that it presents is until about 5 or 6 years in, and then I did. So the last 10, 12 years, I've really been harping on that because it is extremely important.
Well, Alex, one thing about our people as a whole is that our race, our people don't just do weird, wild things. They need to understand things, they need to grasp things, and only once something is properly in their minds do they then change their behavior. But unfortunately, this particular indoctrination has been going on for so long, and I agree with you, it's totally terrible. I've even told members of my family, I've even said to them, and they are younger people and they're Christians, I've even said to them, some of that advice that's sitting there is some of the worst advice you could ever give to anybody ever. A thing like love your enemy. There is a Jewish line for you. There's total Jewish bullshit. Only a Jew would tell you that. Love your enemy. Yeah. So your enemy can screw you as much as you want, and then forgiveness. What's it? 7 times 77 or
Oh,
whatever.
yeah.
All that crap. In other words, you got to keep sucking up the shit while somebody's busy kicking you in the teeth all the time, and you got to like no. Ben Klassen, Ben Klassen of the Church of Creativity, in one of his books, he's got a chapter where he says, "Getting to heaven, Mission Impossible," that kind of stuff. Ben was also good. He also knew. He was totally against Christianity.
Yeah, he said in the beginning was the lie. It makes you wonder about the etymology of that, because they always the Catholics hype like, oh, words is what separates humans from animals, and words are everything. And well, the Catholics are just a reduction of Judaism. They are less obnoxious, but every bit as dishonest as Jews is Catholic ideological doctrine. And Catholicism is an ideology. And I focus on Catholicism because it's been around the whole time. And well, there may have been other ones that even preceded it or around when it began, but they are now dead or gone. And Protestantism only came in the last 500 years. So I like to focus on the original doctrines. And some of these doctrines have been around for thousands of years. And so they're well worked out. And yet they are false. And race does matter. Biology does matter. There is nothing immoral about recognizing it's not an identity. It's deeper than an identity. It's a reality. You are white. That is a thing. It's not a category of the mind. It is a reality. And anyone instinctively knows that when they walk down the street and see someone black. You instinctively know that you're dealing with a different species. Okay. And that no lies out of Catholic mouths can make that go away. And once you understand that and you see how it fits into the larger Jewish plan, and remember, Catholics, oh, for all their denunciation of, you know, abortion and even condoms and stuff like that, they never denounced the repeal of interracial marriage laws. They never, ever, if they denounce porn, do they ever denounce interracial porn, which is the biggest push, along with homosexual porn, that you find coming from these Jewish pornographers, because they don't see interracial sex as something bad. They're indifferent to it. And in fact, at different times, even in South America, they have overtly forced interracial marriage on the whites in order to spread their doctrine more successfully. They know that the browner the man, the dumber the man, the more likely is to fall for Catholic lies. So all the Catholic countries down in South America are constantly sending people up north to the successful white countries that aren't Catholic, like the USA. And that humiliates them incessantly. And they can't even explain it, because that's what an ideology is. When something factual controverts it, you have to turn your eyes away. That's what makes it an ideology. It doesn't do facts. It just does its own claims and just clamps its hands over its ears and keeps yelling its dogmas even louder. But we are not an ideology. White nationalism is a preference. But when you assert something as a fact, it better be a fact. And what we assert are facts are in fact facts. And our preference is for an all-white nation. How about an all-white nation with an absolutely hard money, Bitcoin? Then we have the basis of something far superior to anything that has ever been seen on this earth. And make no mistake, for all of our talk about race, this Bitcoin is going to create a revolution that will be bigger than the printing press. Sound money has so many ramifications that are good that come from it that there's no reason to really despair. Now, we do have an organized, highly organized, but not all that large force trying to wipe us out, but absolutely hard money is part of the solution, believe me. And you need to get some of that if you're listening to this.
Well, Alex, sorry.
I'm saying to our listeners, make the effort, get some Bitcoin. Don't delay. You get it at the price you deserve, as Max Kaiser says. Now, that could be 3,000, that could be 20,000, it could be 50,000, it could be 500,000, it could be 1.5 million. But it is going to keep going up. You know, you don't get obsessed with looking at the price. Just buy some and don't think about it. Just go about your work and keep putting in a small percentage in there. And eventually it's going to add up to something extremely substantial. And your kids and your grandkids will appreciate what you did for them. This is a genuine, huge, world-beating opportunity that you do not see. There was nothing like this in the 80s. There was nothing like this in the 70s. There was nothing like this in the 60s. There was nothing like this in the 1990s. There was nothing like this until it was created in like 2009 when it went public, I think January 2009. So you have a chance to actually get something that will increase in value. Meanwhile, they're going to print another couple trillion dollars to do the stupid budget stuff. and the U.S. economy is going to keep going downhill until finally the dollar is worth nothing. And if you are sitting there, even I don't care how many hundreds of thousands of dollars you have in your bank account, they can make those worth zero. That's what hyperinflation means. We're yes. not in hyperinflation yet, but we are where it starts to begin to become a thing. Virtually everything of any value, from a can of corn to overalls to tickets to art, everything has increased at least like 20% over a year ago. Okay, that's when you're starting to head towards hyperinflation. Don't get burned. The way you protect yourself is not gold, it is Bitcoin. Believe me.
Well, Alex, here in Southern Africa, we had a similar thing to Weimar Germany, let's call it liberal Jewish Germany before Hitler, when they had hyperinflation. We had it in Zimbabwe across the border. And Alex, there are those $100 trillion notes that were printed yes. in Zimbabwe. But when I was a kid, Alex, the dollar, the Rhodesian dollar, was worth more than the US dollar. But it ended up under blacks getting to be $100 trillion dollar notes, you know, and things were so bad. It was like a rerun of Germany, but in modern times, and where people would get paid on, say, Friday, and they better spend their money within a day or two, because by Monday or by next week, that money is already lost half its value, you know. So, you know, I'm also watching that printing of money. The Europeans have been printing money.
Oh, yeah.
The Fed has been printing money. It looks like inflation.
Yeah.
And ultimately, hyperinflation's coming, because I can't see how things are going to improve.
Even they can't.
It can't.
But like Kaiser says, you can't taper a Ponzi scheme. They have to keep – they'll always make noise like we're going to – see, naturally what would happen in a market like this, the interest rate would raise for money to restore the stability of the system. But they're decades down the road of printing money. There's nothing yes. to do. They have to pay all their bribe groups and keep paying all this stuff. They have to keep printing money because their only other option is taxing. They couldn't tax anyone because there isn't that much wealth in the country. So they're going to keep printing it. And that's the beauty of Bitcoin, is it relies on the overt criminality of the Jews running the central banks. So central banking, we're at the point of a revolution in hominid affairs where bad money, which all money becomes bad because no one can resist. And even before we had printing presses, they would always dilute the coins. They would shave off the edges to make them less gold than a coin, and they would water them down. They would replace the silver with some crappier, cheaper metal. Humanity has always done this. Now we have a technical solution to a human moral problem, and this will have an extremely positive upside. So quit worrying about the government is destroying itself. There's not much we can do to help or hinder it at this point. Our ancestors maybe could have done something, but that point is long past. So protect yourself and your family and your genetic line by understanding everything we're telling you about race and how to take care of your body. Well, this is how you take care of your future. You've got to get some of this. Eventually, the whole world is going to have this as at least the underlying layer. If they're not using it as money, it will be at least where all the value is stored. The key here is everything that you do, you do something productive, you get money for it, you save that, it can't be taken away from you. Do you understand how important that is? If your savings are in dollars or even in property, that can be taken away from you by someone at gunpoint. But Bitcoin can't be taken away from you because they can't ever print more than 21 million. So it's going to go up in value, and the dollar is going down to zero, right? These are a bunch of crooks. They can print money all day long. Eventually, the value of those dollars will be zero. You know, all these printed dollars are buying up goods in China, and China is buying our bonds, right? As they float all these bonds. China buys the bonds, but then they're like, well, shit, we don't want to hold this. We already hold too much of this. So they don't want to hold dollars for the products they sell to us. And like everything in the USA is made in China, it's probably the same in South Africa.
Yes.
So they take that money and they go around the world buying all those ports. right? And buying all the, and creating and buying up all the infrastructure and all the actually valuable assets. And China is really the one that figures to come out completely ahead out of all the races on earth. If they understand Jews, they actually are in a position where they, if they made a deal with Russia, could actually dominate the world. I don't think they're really inclined to do that. I think they're probably happy just being the number one power in the world, replacing the U.S. and not being insane. Because the Xi or whatever the dude's name is against homosexuality and against Muslims. I mean, right there is a good start. And, they're against effeminate men and they're solvent for the most part over there. And they make everything and they're buying up assets literally all over the world, all over South Africa, in Arabia, in Africa, in South America. They are buying up everything. And, we're these suckers who are just living in a convenience service society where we're all obese and all we really do is give each other blowjobs and go to Orange Julius and shit like that. We don't make anything cool anymore like we used to in the 50s. So I want you to be in shape. I want you to be physically in shape. I want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy. I want you to get some Bitcoin so that you have a future and you can start to build something that will accumulate. You're not always going back to zero. You're not living paycheck to paycheck like supposedly 70% of Americans are one paycheck from being on the street. Well, God damn it, do better than that. I'm telling you how to do it. This will work. These things I'm telling you will work. They are part of being white and forming a team. The progressive is understanding your racial heritage and being part of that white context that has nothing to do with Christianity, is quite opposed to it. We will build our own team in our own context. That's what we're here for. That's why we're taking up your time to tell you this stuff and show you how other theories actually play out around the world, from the UK, where our fellow speaker is basically in house jail because she speaks some of the truth to power. And Giannis harassed in court in South Africa. And here in America, well, we can just see you can't demonstrate in public without getting sued for hundreds of thousands. This is reality. That's all I have to say today, Jan. Do you have anything else you want to wrap up with?
I think the final thing I want to say with regard to our race and all that is that we are a biological entity. We are the products of our forefathers. We are biological, we are traceable, trackable, and if we don't look after our entity, then we're going to die. And I mean, I like to watch lots of science videos and nature videos, and Alex, it's a violent life out there. Exactly like you've said, 99.99% of everything that's ever lived has been wiped out, and we could be next. We better, nature is a vicious, competitive system. It is ruthless. Nature, Hitler said, nature does not forgive weakness, and that is definitely so. If we don't become hard and determined and have a will to win and survive, we're going to be gone.
Perfect. That's exactly right. A perfect way to sum it up. And I hope all you out there love competition. Don't fear it. Love it. Embrace it, because it is reality. And you are tough enough to get the job done. So thanks for being with us here on Team White again today. We'll record more for you in 2022, which is now less than 1 month away. But anyway, thanks for listening today. And we'll be back with you again real, real soon.
Thank you very much, Alex. These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com, you'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.